Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Matt Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Mark Grody is indeed our man. With Spiegel and Company, Paul Papst from the DP Show is my co-host today. Groats McGoats joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort Casino Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Mark Grody, we got tape to play. We want to hear it all, but give us your headline from the day of coordinators speaking to you, sir.
I think that.
Oh, hearing myself back in my ear. Can't do that.
It's the Zoom connection. Give it another shot, sir. Now you're muted. We don't have anything.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you
hear me? Delightful.
Yes. Oh, you've got me?
Got you.
Good. I am not. Okay. Everything sounds good now. What looked like an untenable situation is now a tenable situation. Headline out here today, I think, again, is probably that Keenan Allen did not practice, again, because of the foot injury. And I guess the good news on the injury report, one that I was kind of worried about, Tevin Jenkins did return to practice today in a limited capacity. Did see him with a big old bandage on his thigh, which is the injury, a deep thigh bruise, but he was back out there today as well. So I lead with that because it's really all about the offense, gentlemen.
Yeah, it really is. And Shane Waldron spoke today, and we want to know what he is doing to make the offense better, to make Caleb Williams more comfortable.
Yeah, and the specific, you know, we'll hear a couple of cuts from Waldron, but the specific question that I asked him is, are they changing what they're doing with Caleb Williams at all, as in maybe adding different things to his plate, perhaps taking things off of his plate to maybe simplify things like that? Here's how Shane Waldron answered that question.
Yeah, I think every week we're learning as an offense as a whole where we're at. I think for us right now, you know, a starting point for the offense as a whole is to be eliminating negative plays. And I think starting with me, you know, doing a great job getting plays in a timely fashion. Felt like we had a better rhythm this past week than the first week. And knowing, you know, for all the young players on our offense, including Caleb, every single week they're going to learn, grow. The game will slow down for them a little bit more, and the comfort level will continue to increase. I think that's the steady improvement that we're looking for.
But to this point, you don't feel like you're asking Caleb to do too much?
I think Caleb's done a great job with what he's been asked to do. Don't feel like it's been too much, and I think, you know, more of it is the game reps, the, you know, the live reps, so to speak, in the regular season here, and he's continued to grow, and I can't say enough about his attitude. Each day comes into work ready to learn, ready to continue. You know, you're going to see, you know, different blitz patterns, you're going to see different front structures, you're going to see, you know, game plan elements every single week. And I think for him, you know, the more reps he gets, the more times he sees it in those game scenarios, the better he's going to continue to get every single week.
All right, Mark, right to it. To what level do you agree with that answer?
Yeah, no, I think that in some areas he's right, that there is going to be the growth, the things that he's working on, the protections, the reads, and all of that. I think, though, Paul, that – you have to simplify things to a certain degree. I mean, if for nothing else, and this would be the second week in a row, if Keenan mm-hmm. Allen is out, you don't have your power three wide receivers all in effect. And essentially, you have DJ Moore full-time. Roma Dunze, obviously, still trying to figure things out, and he's not 100% healthy. So I do think that maybe, like, early on, and I understood, I mean, watching this guy in training camp, that you could put a lot on his plate. And I'm not saying they've got to, like, take big chunks out of it, like he's Mitch Trubisky or something like that, but a little bit of simplification in either game plan or just what they're asking him to do in each and every game, I think could be simplified just a little bit.
You know, just not having the negative plays, it's super unsexy, but it makes all the sense in the world. And we've seen pre-snap penalties and stuff like that. It's a reminder of the floor that they're trying to hit. I mean, I've like heard some of the stuff that sounds so crazy, like making sure guys are closer to the huddle, you know, as you're waiting for the play to get in, making sure you walk faster to the line of scrimmage after you break the huddle, making sure, as Caleb admitted, look up and see the clock. He didn't look up and see the clock. I mean, just it's disappointing to have to deal with some of the basics, but so it goes. Let's get the basics dialed in.
Guys, to that end, one of the things that Waldron kept on talking about, he said, I think in the first couple of answers, he kept using the word fundamentals, got to get to our fundamentals. And so finally, I just kind of asked him, I said, is there an issue with the fundamentals? Like, it's, you've brought it up a couple of times now. And he didn't say that there was an issue with the fundamentals, but I think that that's their go-to when things are struggling. Okay, let's get back to basics. The problem is, one of the ideas of getting back to the basics is running the football. That's what teams do when they get back to the basics, and the Bears have struggled big time with that. The other thing is, with the offense, is that the protection personnel has not been good enough so far. So let's move to that as far as Waldron is concerned. The personnel and what they will do to better protect Caleb Williams and, of course, get the run game going too.
You know, usage of personnel right there, you know, there's a few scenarios within that pass game where we're in 12, you know, chipping the edges. Because the thing that's going to come back to the protection element is it's always going to take all 11, right? And looking back at the individual pressures, the individual sacks, you know, and really trying to help our players put them in the best position of the why a breakdown may or may not have occurred, but it's never going to come down to one thing throughout the entire course of a game. It could be starting with the O-line every time, right? You know, were we ID'd correctly? Were we playing inside out in our protection mindset? Then if the tight ends are involved in the protection of the backs, they playing with clean eyes, clean feet to keep that pocket? Is the quarterback looking to get the ball out in rhythm? If he has to escape, is he doing with his eyes downfield and ready to protect the ball? And then for the receivers, are they working in the timing and rhythm of the pass downfield? So each play, each pressure that occurs, I think we're looking at that and knowing that we have personnel that we can mix and match and utilize to go ahead and mix up some of the protection looks is something we're always looking to do.
All right, Mark, when you hear that, that's a lot of coach speak. The average person out there, they get kind of blindsided by it. Does that mean more likely when we tune in on Sunday, you're down a wide receiver, like you said, with Keenan Allen? It might be like that for a while. Could you see a lot more two tight end sets? Everyone's complaining about Cole Kmet's usage. You have two above average tight ends. What about two tight ends for 60 plays a game in a one-back system?
Absolutely, man. I mean, they have to do something real to adjust, to make protection better. And if that is Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett together playing the part of blockers, Mercedes Lewis, we know that is essentially what he is, the extra offensive lineman. Is he out there more? And you don't want to change this all the way back to, you know, 1940s football, but they have to, and that is a plausible one for sure.
Yeah, so
they have to do something to get it better.
When he says 12 personnel, for anybody who doesn't know, 12 means two tight ends. So then he goes right back to all 11. He means all 11 players on the field, but that 12 personnel, I think we will see a lot of that. I would like to see more Mercedes Lewis than even Gerald Everett. I mean, I know they're enamored with Gerald Everett as a tight end who can catch, but every time they've tried to use him as a receiver, I've wished it was Cole Kmet. Because they seem to have a love affair with Gerald Everett. Was Shane Waldron asked about any specific plays that went horribly wrong, like Cole Kmet being asked to block Danielle Hunter off of the edge. I know it's 4 days later already, and the timing of when the coordinator speaks can make going backwards feel illogical sometimes on a Thursday. Did he comment on that play or others specifically?
I don't think so. When he was asked about specific stuff, he was very much generalizing and not necessarily giving satisfying answers on exactly what went wrong.
Let me tell you, Groats, I'm with Dan Wiederer, and I think we should make this a campaign. Coordinators should talk at the very least on the Wednesday. Move the quarterback back to Thursday. You talk to the quarterback after every game anyway, and the coordinators on a Wednesday gives you more things that you can look back on and look ahead on.
Oh, 100%. 100% they should do that. I don't remember which – it might have been Waldron. It was either Waldron or Eric Washington. One of them made kind of an offhand comment on Thursday, and I'm paraphrasing, saying something to the effect of, you know, it's kind of weird. It's already Thursday. We're looking ahead to the next game, and you guys are asking questions about the last game. We're all, like, sitting there like, we don't want to have to do – we think this is weird, too. We're 3 days away from traveling or doing whatever we're doing. And we're having to talk about this game. So, yeah, no, it's upside down. I think everybody in this building would be better served if they were to, heck, take it a step further. I mean, there was a time, not even that long ago, relatively speaking, when you could talk to, I remember talking to Ron Turner in the Bears locker room right after a game. Like, he was just as willing to talk to reporters as anybody else. I'm not saying they have to take it that far, but they'd be doing their coaches a favor if they were to do that, and they'd obviously be doing us a favor. But they should look at their coaches first who don't want to have to deal with what just happened.
A texter correctly points out that Cole Kmet did clarify on that specific play that he was not supposed to block. He was supposed to just go out.
Mission accomplished, because he nailed that assignment. He absolutely did not block him. If he was told not to block him, he nailed that one.
Absolutely nailed that. All right, what'd you get from the defensive coordinator, Mark Grody?
Yeah, I think one of the main things that I was trying to figure out from Eric Washington and from guys in the locker room, as we're going to hear, is dealing with all that is Anthony Richardson, of course, big, strong, can run, big arm, all that stuff. But it's the explosive plays that we know in that first game that the Colts lost to Houston by two explosive plays to Alec Pierce and Alston Doolin as well. So that seems to be the big threat. So I asked Eric Washington, how do you deal with that part of his game?
Assignment football. We have to be exceptionally detailed with our assignments, especially when they start to utilize him as a second runner with some of the option things that you'll see. And similar to last week, we can't allow him to extend plays, especially when we do a good job of connecting with our coverage. We've got to make sure he stays in the pocket, and we can force him to throw the ball away or at best get him down.
Yeah, it does feel like Anthony Richardson sets up well for the Bears. They have defensive backs that can probably bait a young guy into passes. Going back to August, I heard you a lot on The Score talking about the issues with the defensive line. And I try to look at positives from the game against Houston and the game against the Texans. The defensive line does not seem to be the problem. I think the defensive line is overachieved compared to the coverage that you and the other people told us to be a little nervous about, rightly so, by the way, in August.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, so far so good. And the beautiful part about it is that really they're not getting big contributions yet numbers-wise from Montez Sweat. And yeah, we definitely were obsessed with who's the guy opposite of Montez Sweat who's going to make plays, and we've seen a couple of guys do that, including DeMarcus Walker at the defensive end. Jervon Dexter, so far so good this season. We've seen him in the backfield a couple of times so far. Andrew Billings has been able to penetrate and get through as well, and that's really, I mean, when you go back to what Ryan Poles wants and what he says is the fastest way to the quarterback is from the inside, so that's the pressure they want to get. And I know they want more of it. They still want their sack numbers to go up. But cheers to Matt Eberflus on this one. He's been calling good plays.
So what'd you get from Montez Sweat today, sir? You know, we always look forward to that.
Oh, yes, yes. Let's do the build-up with Montez Sweat. He, as we were gathering around Montez Sweat's locker, it seemed that the rest of his teammates were really looking forward to it. So let me just give you a little feel for the build-up to the Sweat interview.
Take it off for us.
My bad. Jake, let me get out your way.
Please.
Fill in. Fill in. Gather. Gather around. Montez. What?
Any more?
Y'all charged as hell.
You did a great job, bro. Love you, bro. For the kids.
Why do they like it when you talk to the media so much?
Next question.
So that's Montez.
Oh, yes. Yeah. On a very special episode of That's Montez, all of his teammates wish he would talk to the media even more.
Mm-hmm,
They enjoy seeing Montez talk to the media because the media likes it. And then they don't talk to them quite as much. Sorry, Shane, I had to jump in with an episode description. See, we're not in the room.
Next week on That's Montez. Remember last week when Montez had his lunch taken? Well, he's getting redemption. Montez is taking everybody's lunch, and Granny is with him.
Well, that'd be nice. I mean, hell, if Granny would get a quarterback pressure, if Montez isn't going to, maybe Granny could get a quarterback pressure. Mark, what are your thoughts on Granny's pass rush skills?
Oh, solid. The chocolate chip cookies are absolutely delish. Very proud. But yes, the locker room just seems, maybe they're in on It's Montez. I don't know. But on the serious side,
it's not the name of the show. That's not the name of the show, uh-oh. Mark. That's Montez.
That's Montez.
This week, we're not changing the name of the show. It's still That's Montez.
That's Montez.
Yeah. Following Everybody Hates Chris. Morgan.
Emma.
Sweaty.
Some people like him. Some people like him.
Sweaty.
Sweaty.
Tyler Perry presents.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Oh, man. Montez Sweat. And can we continue to move around the locker room? Well, I'm sorry, Speaks.
What did Montez Sweat think of the athletic marvel that is Anthony Richardson at quarterback?
Oh, yeah. No, he said that he is he's dangerous.
Most definitely. Any QB who can run and throw is something that you have to account for. It's not just like you got to watch your rush lanes. You rush too high, you're going to come right up under. If you rush too inside, you come out the back end. So, yeah, it definitely presents a challenge.
For lack of a better way of putting it, can it be annoying, too, when you think you've got a guy like that down and then you don't?
I wouldn't say annoying. It's really fun. It's a challenge that we look up to every week. So we'll see what happens this week.
So last week, Anthony Richardson threw three interceptions, fumbled twice in the loss to Green Bay. His completion percentage of 49.1 is the lowest of any starting quarterback in the NFL.
So which quarterback is it then? The week one Anthony Richardson who threw the bombs that I was talking about, or the three picks in the game in the loss to Green Bay? I'd be prepared. Like in general with this Colts team, I mean, they're dangerous because they're 0-2 and they're not bad. This is a team that was what, 9-8 last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think on the overall, this is a good team. So I do think that there's like, they can't, that the way the Colts are looking at this game, it's an absolute must win for them. Like they cannot lose this game and go to 0-3. So in a lot of areas, that does scare me for the Bears.
But the Bears should be looking at this as a chance to eat. And Jaquan Brisker is looking at it that way, right?
Yeah, he is. He, of course, Jaquan Brisker loves the challenge of going up against this offense of Indianapolis.
Because Anthony Richardson likes to throw the ball deep, the explosive plays, do you look at that as a safety, as an opportunity almost?
For sure. Definitely. I want him to throw it deep this week. I mean, if he can, please throw it my way. I want to pick this week, so regardless if it's short or long, you know, I want the opportunity. So we know their threats, and we hope. No, we throw live pop.
You haven't faced a running quarterback this year quite like him. What do you have to be aware of?
The RPO game, whether, you know, it's RPO, he pulls it, RPO with a pass game. It's really college football this week for us. So just had to, you know, go through that and just be ready, just read our keys this week.
What's it like when you got a dude that big running at you?
To me, I just, you know, go and, you know, try to hit my hardest and try to take the ball away from him. So it really doesn't affect me. Maybe some other teams or some other safeties or other defenses, but, you know, that's a challenge. So we take on that challenge this week.
Two games into the season, Mark, the defensive backfield for the Bears has to be, in my opinion, the biggest strength they have. They have some really upper echelon players. The only time that C.J. Stroud really took it to him was on those rollouts when someone would get loose and he'd find someone because he's really good at the rollout thing. But when you look at the defensive backfield position, is this the unit that will carry the Bears if they get to a playoffs? I know we're way far away from that, but that unit itself.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. Like, will that be the best unit by the end of the season? And, you know, I'm thinking about that, just what we were talking about with the defensive line. I mean, we'll stand by. I mean, if that D-line can match what the back seven have been doing, that would be a something. I guess my answer is yes, just because they're good and they can get better as well. I mean, and they, you know, look, Tyreek Stevenson, I think he's had a really good start to his season. They're targeting the hell out of him, obviously. We know that because the teams fear going to Jalen Johnson. But, you know, Brisker, as long as that guy continues to stay healthy. Hey, you know, we barely heard much from Kevin Byard yet, and we know that he's a guy who is want to make plays as well. Mm-hmm. So that's what I like about it. They've been good, and they can be better.
So back to the offensive line. The middle of that offensive line has been a disaster, and then, of course, the edges had trouble too. But Coleman Shelton seems locked and loaded, not our guy Doug Kramer, at least right now.
Yeah, not yet. You know, I was very tempted to go up to Doug Kramer today and present him as eight Bears, but I did. I saw Coleman Shelton, and the first thing I asked him about was the heat that he's taking and that the offensive line is taking.
I don't look at that stuff, to be honest. No, yeah. I mean, don't want to mess with your own head, so you just kick back, and all I'm worried about is what's going on in this building.
What is your relationship with Caleb Williams like?
It's great. I mean, we got a lot of back and forth. We're always talking off, you know, bouncing ideas off each other, and we're trying to work together as much as we can. You know, that's the goal for us, for him and I, to be on the same page for every play. So we get the protections dialed in and, you know, the alerts or whatever it is. So we're just there together, working together.
One thing that's been talked about a lot is communication. Coaches talk about need better communication. What does that mean to you? What is your part in communication along the offensive line?
Right, well, especially for these road games when it's super loud, right? It's not just verbal, it's visual communication. Just making sure everyone's on the same page. And, you know, when you use the silent cadence, obviously that's on the center and the guard and the QB and all of us to work together to get that playoff and to get going. And as much time as we can have on the line, the more we're able to communicate, and before that crowd gets super loud right before the down, you know what I mean? So it's all just timing and just being urgent and urgent to the line.
That's something too that takes a while for a young quarterback to get used to as well. I mean, isn't that natural?
Like, no, I would say for any team, you know, it's beginning of the season, it's your first road game. It's never going to be perfect. So it's just, you know, learning how to play with each other and play with everybody and communicate with everybody. You know, it's not just one person, it's everybody. You know, we all got to be on the same page.
So Coleman Shelton and Caleb Williams are both in the knowledge acquisition business of those positions. But Paulie, every time I hear Coleman Shelton talk, all I'm thinking about is hit somebody, please hit somebody, deliver a blow, move somebody.
He's got that Nate Davis clip out there, so it doesn't look so bad. Mark, I want to go over the offensive line, because the number one phrase in Chicago the past week is they got to fix the offensive line. And you could do it like you talked earlier. There's scheme, blocking scheme. There's play calling, short passes, and then there's personnel. Personnel is the toughest to do 2 weeks into a football season. I brought this up to Matt a little while ago. The Bears have draft capital from the Panthers. They got an extra second-round draft pick next year. Could Ryan Poles look, and he got Montez Sweat last year out of nowhere, could they look at the other teams over the next few weeks and teams that are going downhill and not going to the playoffs and find like a B-level guard or a B-level center tackle, whatever, and trade a second-round draft pick this year to try to add to the line this year? Is that something you can get behind?
It's definitely a way in which we've seen Ryan Poles do business, that he does like to use those draft picks. And I think that will depend on if they do get things straightened out or not. We know how high Ryan Poles has been on Ryan Bates. Coleman Shelton is another guy that he talked up and brought in. They have sort of recreated Tevin Jenkins. The Nate Davis thing, you know, stand by. We'll see about that. I mean, I think that if Ryan Poles could do that over again, he might do that over again. But yeah, I mean, I think that he genuinely thought going into the season that the offensive line was going to be better. One guy to keep in mind too is Karan Amagaji, who is right now, from what I understand, practicing at just the tackle positions, which is not a surprise. That's what he does. That's what he was expected to do. But he's going to be around, and we'll see. They like Bill Murray, who I see in the locker room just about every day. But yeah, they've got to sturdy things up. But I think they'll still give it a few games with this group to see if they've got it.
I thought it was great in Zombieland. I mean, that was the one. It was kind of a surprise to see him, and it was really welcome. All right, so
Norris. That's a fun movie.
Thank you, Daniel Norris. Big fan. Can you talk to us about the run game and DeAndre Swift's role in it, please, Mr. Grubb?
Yeah, you know, we gathered around Swift's locker as well. He just has not really been able to get going. He's the number one guy. He's the guy that is being paid the big bucks to do it. And here is how he responded to the Bears running game.
I could be better, first and foremost. I could be better. I can make everybody's job easier up front for the quarterback. I feel like it's going to start with me. I ain't the type to put it on nobody else. So if run game ain't successful, I look at me first. So find a way so I could be better for everybody.
You say it starts with you. Has this ever happened to you before in your career and you've dealt with it?
Not like this, no. I'm going to be better. So that's kind of how I look at it. Yeah, it ain't nothing to do but be better. You know what I mean? So that's how I'm going to attack it.
Well, let's go, man. Time is now. Time is now, Groats. Any Bears nuggets before we let you go, sir?
Yeah, I got a few for you guys. Eric Washington, the defensive coordinator, says he's very happy with Jervon Dexter and all who have slid in at the three tech at times, but he still refers to the position as a work in progress. That is one. As far as the injury is concerned, we told you guys that Keenan Allen did not practice today. Tevin Jenkins returned. Zach Pickens was out. The following three guys were limited today. Roma Dunze, Montez Sweat, and DeMarcus Walker as well. And a quick question for you guys, and if you don't get it right away, I'll give you the answer, because I have a feeling that I've gone too long already. Who is the last quarterback drafted number one overall to win two of his first three starts?
Wow, that is a great question. Last quarterback drafted one overall to win two of his last three starts. I'm going to say David Carr for fun.
Was not David Carr.
I will go Cameron Newton.
Not Cameron Newton. The answer is John Elway, 1983.
Wow. That is a great one. There it is. That is a great nugget. So yes. Not since 83 as a number one overall quarterback started and won two of his first three games.
That is correct. And finally and lastly, hey, Paul, how's it going, man? I'm Mark. Nice to meet you. Nobody introduced us. I thought maybe the beginning we could have, but it didn't happen. So nice to meet you over the radio, sir.
It's great to be here. I'm going to hit you up when I'm going to the game in a couple weeks. I'm going to the Rams game. I expect a little special treatment, maybe a wave. I'm in section 400, so I'm way up there. You may have to look for me.
I'll come find you. Just start giving me the Bears signal, and I will find you.
Thanks, Groats. It reminds me of when Danny Parkins wished Anthony Heron a good day at the end of transition, if memory serves.
Well,
right?
Yeah. But I just
how you doing,
know,
buddy? Have a good day. Have a good day. All right.
How you doing, buddy? He said, "How you doing, buddy?" After a 20-minute transition. So that's right there. Well, thanks, Groats. You're the best.
Bye, guys.
Hey, Mark, how are you today? No one asked you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for asking. My God, I wanted an introduction to Paulie. I wanted somebody to ask me how I was doing, but no, right to the Bears report.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for asking. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Bye. Some truths.
Great to meet him.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
wait, so how are you, Mark?
You know, I'm a little fired up at this point, Shane. Not going to lie to you.
Okay.
I thought, you know.
I mean, we'd love to hear about it, but it's 4:30. You went so damn long with your Bears report today. We got a break.
What did I tell you guys yesterday? I'm a common courtesy expert, and I am, and I feel like I didn't receive it. So, I'm a little hurt.
We understand, Mark. Well, screw you. Have a good day. All right, buddy.
Guys, let's take a call. 312-644-67. Bye. I got to go. Goodbye.
Some truths revealed about the worst team in pro sports in a big expose today. We'll do that next. Dave Wanstead at the top of the hour on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Go, go, White Sox! I'm going to couch this so that nobody writes that I thought of selling. Friends of mine have said, why don't you sell? Why don't you get out? And my answer always has been, I like what I'm doing, as bad as it is. And what else would I do? I'm a boring guy. I don't play golf. I don't play bridge. What else would I do? And I want to make it better. I want to make it better before I go.
Welcome back in on 670 The Score. It's Spiegel & Company, Spiegs, and Pauly Pabst from the DP Show. And from the tailgate, Saturday mornings here on The Score. This enormous article by Ken Rosenthal on The Athletic is just so, so sad. It's not really depressing necessarily because, at least from my perspective, Pauly, because I've known how broken and dysfunctional the White Sox are as an organization because of the owner, because of his intense loyalty, because of his love of baseball and his desire to be involved, as out of touch as he is. But it's just It's just sad. It makes me sad for White Sox fans. I know so many of them. I've heard from several of them today who just kind of read through this piece and just found themselves despondent. A lifelong White Sox fan who hit me said, I'm just saddened by it. I needed your ear, because his White Sox love is more about nostalgia than anything, and he admits that. But then reading that, it's just, you feel like, God, it's going to be so long until they're run functionally, and you find yourself wishing for ownership change, which right now means wishing for death. And that is a terrible, terrible place to be as a fan.
Yeah, it's when you read this Athletic article, and it's not in the Sun-Times or the Tribune or the Herald. It's a national article that everyone can see. And the White Sox, I work on a national sports radio show. They're kind of a fascination. What was it? Is 3 years ago, they win 93 games. And to go to one of the worst teams, not even in the modern era, almost any era, it almost seems impossible to do. And when I read this Athletic article, I read it, and I'm from a distance, I pay attention to the White Sox. But when I got done reading this article, I'm like, now I understand how all this happened. Now I understand how you go to two playoffs in 16 years. That's almost hard to do in baseball. People almost always go in every couple of years when you trade the farm, and you trade a few players, you build up the farm system, you make a run in the playoffs. The White Sox don't even do that. And just a couple of years ago, to have 93 wins. When you read this Athletic article, if you haven't, it paints a dark picture, not just losses and embarrassment on a national level, but almost a hopelessness.
Well, it shows you just how far behind they have been and how far behind perhaps they still are on a lot of the analytics. The fact that they use two sets of data adjusted from TrackMan, which is something that every team uses. Like most teams, they got this data from a third party. Another was developed by their own analytics people. And sometimes the two sets of data would be dramatically different, making it difficult to evaluate players and write reports. And in 2019, a debate about using spin rate versus adjusted spin rate caused everybody to fight about it. The former baseball operations employee said it was comical. No one knew what was what among the data. And they still don't know how to use
their defensive positioning. Tommy Pham on the record said it's a huge area I felt could be better, and they know it. They're still so far behind on how they're using this data. It's just, it's incredibly, incredibly bleak. And, you know, one, there's been a couple different touchstones in recent years. One was the hiring of Tony La Russa, which was so obvious, a vanity project move. Jerry Reinsdorf trying to right a wrong from 35 years ago.
Yeah, that's a nostalgia hire.
Oh, it just, and trying to make himself feel better about something he said was the worst mistake he ever made. And Kenny Williams wouldn't even talk about it. He was asked about the Tony La Russa era. He said, quote, "I don't yet have a way to talk about that period of time because it takes me to a bad place, and it will take me from the person I aspire to be." Man,
that sounds like he's discussing a disease he had at an earlier juncture of his life. This is a baseball topic. This is a baseball article. And if you read that quote out of context, you're like, oh, this guy had a poor situation in his life a few years ago. I wonder if it was a death in the family or an animal passed away. No, he has a manager that he can't even discuss in an article with Ken Rosenthal.
No, he doesn't even want to talk about it. And Jerry, because Jerry went over their heads and made that hire and absolutely curtailed the window, ended the window earlier than it needed to be ended. And then this, when Chris Getz is hired without interviewing anybody else from outside the organization, it's just an awful, awful process and a shameful moment in the recent years, because you have to at least interview people from other organizations, even just to learn how they do things. What an opportunity to do that, let alone to bring in somebody from a good organization, hand them the keys and let them take over. And a former staffer was asked why that happened and said this, quote, to Ken Rosenthal, quote, "Jerry just thinks he has the answers," unquote.
Yeah. And this is not 1985. This is not 1995 when Jerry Reinsdorf, you know, they ran the town. You know, I look at this team, and from a national perspective, you watch them lose and lose and lose all season. You're like, well, it can't keep going. I mean, the A's have to be worse. The Oakland A's, it's like the movie Major League. They're trying to get out of town. They're the should be the worst team in baseball. If you're worse than the A's, something's got to be drastically wrong. And then you see a story comes out that the White Sox want to get on this new baseball stadium and get part of this new downtown complex. You're like, with the state of your franchise, you shouldn't even bring up a new stadium. It's almost embarrassing to discuss publicly.
Yeah, it's too bad, because I really like a lot of the ideas about that stadium at the 78.
Oh, yeah.
I really like a lot of it. And the baseball romantic in me really enjoys the image of the White Sox having that stadium. But it's an impossible ask considering the state of the team and the fact that they're going to be cutting payroll and all of that. He's Paul Papps. I'm Matt Spiegel. This is Spiegel & Company. Dave Wannstedt at the top of the hour. Our friend Jalen Johnson keeps talking about technique, but maybe Jalen Johnson should not be talking about technique. I want to make sure we get this in before we talk to Wani at the top of the hour on The Score.
Spiegel & Company.
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 Afternoons on The Score.
Dave Wannstedt in about 10 minutes on The Score. Friend of the show, our Monday man, Jalen Johnson, went on the Richard Sherman podcast about a month ago and was talking about his interception off of Josh Dobbs last season. And he talked about how the Bears were playing what is referred to as a palms coverage. Here's the clip from Jalen with Richard Sherman.
We were really in palms. So
you did that out of palms?
I promise you. Because look, hear me. I seen the formation. So in my head, I'm like, I know I'm to the field. He sees me off. He probably going to try to bang this 5 yard in. But I already knew it was a 5 yard in with a 7 behind it. So I'm kind of seeing it. And I'm in my head, I'm going to make a play. I don't like just catching that little pass and tackling it. So I'm like, if he throws this short route, I'm going to drive it. So sure enough, he caught it. Boom, he looked. I took off. Boom. I seen him pump. So I'm like, damn, I got to get out of there and help and get that. So I stuck my foot in the ground, got out of there. He threw it. I'm like, oh, I got him.
Dobbs protected and picked by Jalen Johnson. Johnson on the return will take it down inside the 40. And a takeaway for the Chicago defense.
Well, that's a play Jalen Johnson couldn't make against Detroit that would have maybe won that ball game with a pick six, but he sure comes back off of this play and gets underneath the throw.
I took it, but everybody like seeing it. It was like, oh yeah, cover two, great, high, low. I'm like, nah, I was being greedy and I got
you a sick dude.
Yeah, no, I was trying to make a play.
That's awesome, CJ. Yeah. Richard Sherman saying, you a sick dude, because Jalen makes that interception off of palms. And then for anybody who hasn't seen this or heard this, this is from the CJ Stroud mic'd up package from Sunday night. CJ Stroud apparently had watched that podcast and had a message for Jalen.
Stop telling your secrets on Richard Sherman podcast, dude.
What you mean?
The palms, look. You ain't slick, brother. You ain't getting me. You ain't getting me.
Oh, man. And if you watch that, Paulie, Jalen's just kind of dumbfounded. He's like, uh-oh.
Well, I have a completely different take on this after I've seen it now a couple times. You guys saw the movie Rounders. You guys saw Matt Damon and Teddy KGB. I'll keep busting you up all night. When you see someone's tell, why would CJ Stroud go up and say, hey, man, I know what you said on the podcast there. You don't wait until after the game. You wait until after the game to go up and say that. I would never give him the opening to change what he's going to do. Maybe I'm getting too much in the minutia here, but I'm CJ Stroud. I don't say anything about that till after the game.
Well, what's interesting is that if you're going to go the poker analogy and the tell, then if you tell Jalen Johnson that, then you know that he'll probably be afraid to jump it now that you've told him that.
You're going double reverse psychology.
Yes, I'm good. I'm playing poker tonight, as a matter of fact. And what I've learned is that if I'm going to be chatty, which is my nature, I know, shocker, right, Paulie? Yeah. If I'm going to be chatty at the poker table, I might as well try to lean in and use my chatty to get people off the scent as opposed to trying not to be chatty. You know what I mean? So maybe Stroud says that, trying to bait Jalen into not doing that.
Yeah, I think maybe that was the move. Maybe CJ Stroud is so far advanced, he's double negativing it, where he's going to tell him to do it, not knowing if he's going to do it, and then convince him to do it. Either way, they won.
I can't wait to talk to Jalen about this on Monday and ask him what he thought when Stroud said that. And does that mean he's talking too much technique? Like, when we ask a question, is Jalen then going to be a little gun-shy on giving us the answer?
That seems like some Peyton Manning stuff, where you're scouring the internet for defensive backs on podcast to get that one little nugget that he's doing. And if CJ Stroud is spending his Tuesday,
dude,
his supposed off day, cruising the podcast networks for defensive backs, more power to it.
Oh, my God. This is a whole extra level now of NFL prep, isn't it? Because you could go and look for whatever you want. As a quarterback, you could go scour for DBs. That's actually a great idea. How many of them are out there talking these days?
Yeah. Tom Brady's like, I should have thought of that. I was more of a terrestrial radio guy. I'm a little old school. I should have gone to podcast.
What do you think of Brady, by the way, through 2 weeks? Did he get better in week two? You think
a lot better? To be objective about Brady as a broadcaster, I thought the first week he was overthinking it. He was over, like, almost trying to do too much, like a quarterback in his first game. It was like he was too worried about the timing of getting in and out of his comments and his analysis, and he just didn't relax and let go. His presence was light. It felt like he was not into it, and he didn't have the energy because I think he was overthinking it. There was one point in the broadcast where I could hear a producer talking to the guy's ear. And that will mess you up. But I thought Brady improved a lot his second week.
Well, then he's probably going to peak in February, because that's that's usually what happens.
He usually does.
He's Paulie Paps from the DP Show. It's me, Spiegs. It's Spiegel and Company. Time for our favorite segments of the week. Dave Wanstead in studio. Look at the man. He's damn handsome. Paulie dressed up as him for Halloween 1 year. We'll tell Dave that next on The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.